It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Guess what I found?
What you found?
It just appeared on the floor one day.
A little piece of card that the hat used to use?
It does appear. It appears to be a 3.5 by 2.5 piece of index card with a little question that we would have asked in the past from Craig, in fact. Which is pretty funny. I feel like I should be able to date it because it's in purple. And that tells me something, but I don't remember what. Has the changing cannabis laws in the U.S. changed your likelihood of using them? I mean.
Wow, I don't even remember that question.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say to it. It's like, I used it before, and I use it now. I might use it now a little more. That's the legality, but that's less about the legality and more about scientific weed. It's just no joke.
Did you feel any transmogrifying magic on that card?
I did not. It smelled like turmeric. It's not yellowed or anything, but it smelled like turmeric. I don't know what that means.
I don't remember what the transmogrifying magic smelled like. Probably burnt toast.
One of my favorite, it must have come off of America's Phone with some videos, but there's this one bit that's out there on the internet of this little kid just sort of staring out the window. And he says, with just a lot of like effort and trauma in his tone, he says, "I smell like beef."
About himself.
It's really hilarious. Yeah, and he's like 3. He's just looking out. He's like, "I smell like beef." It's great. I would highly recommend looking up. "I smell like beef."
Wow. That's weird.
I just saw a thing that did a clip of it again. I'm like, oh my God, I haven't seen the "I smell like beef" kid in so long. I think I did first see it on America's Funniest Home Video, but it is so hard to tell. Everyone, welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, only podcast here now. Doing it. 5% real fruit juice. So, don't obey your thirst. Listen to our podcast. Thirsty? Because we'll soak ya. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 698.
I haven't planned real heavy. It's been a weird time. We almost didn't get to do this today because you had one of your migraineries.
Yeah, migraine, yeah.
And the headaches. Is that how that's pronounced? I've been saying it wrong all these years.
Yeah, this is the kind I have that sometimes it's like 12 hours, like almost exactly. So it can be longer, a lot longer. It can be shorter, not a lot shorter, but 12 hours. That's how I could tell you. You asked before if we could do this, if we record at the time we're recording. And I said, well, I hope we can. I think we might be able to because the headache came on around 2 in the morning. And I figured around 2 in the afternoon, it'll be gone or not. Okay. It's not gone. It's just weaker, you know. So I can do stuff. Sure enough, almost on like clockwork. I don't know why it's a 12-hour thing usually. I don't know what that's about.
You should set the clock ahead.
Yeah,
That's the old trick you could do on the game. Like, if you had to wait for something in a video game, you set the internal clock ahead. So, which clock do you look at when you determine what time it is to determine when you think it's going to go away?
it was probably my phone.
Well, that's harder then, unless you change the time zone.
Right, so next time I'll look at something that's easy to change that I don't care about so much, then change it. Then change it.
Maybe even just like a drawing, and then you can erase it.
Right.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know how these things work.
Suppose I should pay attention to which 12 hours it is, right? Like I'm noticing that it's about 12 hours, but which 12 hours? Because that's probably more important than that it's 12 hours. It's probably conforming to some circadian rhythm thing. That's what I need to
Yeah, but that
understand.
should be the obvious part. Like, when it hurts, it's those 12 hours.
No, what I mean is, is it usually from 2 to 2? Is it, or is it
You
12 to,
absolutely should be tracking that kind of stuff.
yeah, but I
That's
can't tell you
not
if that's.
everybody does that, but to me, that's as simple as breathing. The fact that you haven't done it already disgusts
I know.
Have you had more than two migraines in your life? How have you not already charted all this out?
Well, before the surgery,
Dangers are close to me charting your migraines, and you haven't even done it yet? Like, what's
before
the
the surgery, there was no pattern and it was really rare. After the surgery, I have some kind of migraine almost every day. So that's that. But
Oh, so it's your heart.
I've only just that seemed to and noticed that they last 12 hours. That's so I've only just noticed that. I didn't think there was a pattern. I didn't have any reason to think there was a pattern, but now I kind of do. So
Some celebrity either died recently or I just found out they were dead recently. I don't remember who it was. I've looked up a lot of them. But whoever it was, they basically had what you had,
oh,
but like hadn't gone in for the surgery yet and died.
of an aneurysm or whatever.
I can't remember who it was, but like they described it was a congenital heart issue, and when they described it sounded an awful lot like yours, and they didn't do anything, and they did. And it's like a famous person who's like only a little older than us, I think.
And I would know this person, you think?
I mean, it was somebody I cared enough about to look up that they were dead.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, it also may have just only recently. I know it's not Shannon Doherty. I recently looked up Shannon Doherty. Shannon Doherty died. That was cancer.
Right.
But around that time, somebody else showed up. It was somebody that I was like, that's pretty early for them to die. And I looked it up. I'm like, I don't ever feel it. All right, let's get out of this. Let's get out in front of this here. I have been lying to everyone about where I've been for the last week.
Oh.
See, I find this really fascinating in the world. If you're not part of it, you don't know about it. So, some company whose name I forget now was tasked with applying a patch to a globe-spanning piece of software.
CrowdStrike?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And this broke huge swaths of the planet.
Yeah. Airports and things.
Yes. So, what happened for me, what was supposed to happen, we got a rental car. Trish left Thursday night to go to her sister's. And then Friday, they were going to leave for Virginia and show up around dinner time on Saturday. I was going to fly out Saturday, late afternoon, evening, and arrive real late Saturday, like almost midnight
Oh.
in Norfolk, which was still but a little ways to drive. So Friday is really my day just to do whatever the fuck I want.
Okay.
Because also most of the stuff got packed. So I've already packed everything. So like other than like my electronics and stuff. So Friday, I'm just fucking around. And then Friday night, I get a message shortly after I had checked in. that my flight was canceled.
Oh no. Related to
Straight
all
up
this?
canceled. Well, at this point, I don't know. It's just canceled.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, well, shit. And Trish is like, do you want me to do something about this? I can look into. I said, no, I wasn't leaving till like 5 a.m. I'll deal with it in the morning. I'm not in a good position to deal with it right now. I'll wake up, I'll deal with it. So I woke up and I dealt with it then. And this happened to a ton of people. It was like basically grounded Delta for like ever. And so they got things built in. I just hit the thing to reschedule or whatever. And it kind of sucks because the first one we got is Monday.
Oh no.
So instead of leaving Friday or Saturday, I was going to leave really early Monday. Get in midday Monday. Whatever. Not a biggie. So sorry that I'm kind of impressed with myself for how calm I'm being the whole time. But I'm at my house and that's fine. And I learned via Trish that like this was a bigger thing. It's just fucking up everybody. And then, so I'm just hanging out. Saturday, Sunday, nothing to do. I didn't really have anything planned, so I was kind of just like fucking around online. But I didn't really have like I was sort of just killing time. It was a little bit weird. I was looking forward to get done. And then Sunday night, again after I checked in, they announced that my plane was delayed. The one in the morning. On one level, this is great because I was going to sleep later, because it was leaving at 7:15 instead of 6 from Moline, so I'd have gone from Moline. On the other hand, it put me in Atlanta late enough that I missed the other connection.
Oh no.
And it's not giving me options. Like it literally, I'm checked in and it's like, oh yeah, you're gonna go from Moline to Atlanta. And then 5 days later, you're gonna leave from Norfolk to Atlanta. And I'm just like, yeah, the in but that's the part I don't, what's that
Wow.
about?
Wow.
And nothing is helping. The website and the app are both just like, you want to log into your SkyMiles? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, okay, here. Well, here. You're checked in. It's all good. Here's your trip to Atlanta, and then you'll come back from Norfolk. I'm like, what the fuck? The website is just doing the same thing as the app. Finally, I'm like, oh, fuck. I'll just call. So I called, and shockingly, they were having a higher volume than usual of people, and so many that they were like, if you're flying Wednesday or later, get off the fucking phone. I mean, they said it nicely, but they're like, our shit is now. So if your plane is more than 3 days away, we don't even want to talk to you. And it took about 2 hours, and then I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to get some sleep because I'm gonna have to wake up to go to Moline. I don't know what'll happen. So I slept a little bit and I got up and I drove to Moline. And of course, there's a bunch of people in line and everybody's freaking out. And I've seen things since. Man, that was hellacious for some people. People just got stuck in the middle of nowhere. But it was all like the planes were all running again very quickly. But the planes hadn't been running at all before then. So there was so much to catch up from. And so I'm in line and people are trying to get to Columbia and there's nine of them and like some of them can make it and they'll just have to hang around for a day and the other ones go. The dude literally in front of me was going to the same place I was going and he just was gave his bag and he just went. It's not like they didn't have the flights. They were just full. And I got up there and I'm like, I'm betting you can't make anything else today. And they're like, nope. I was like, tomorrow? She's like, I doubt it, but let's see. Nope. Couldn't do Tuesday. Wednesday was still kind of crazy, but I kind of was like, I fly Wednesday. I'm there Thursday, Friday, and I fly back Saturday, assuming everything works.
Right.
Didn't go
Didn't go at all.
at all. I came
Wow.
home. I was home by late morning on Monday, and I've just been here. And then Trish came back last night, and we just dropped off the car this morning. So I have been alone.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It hasn't been a fun time. I will say
No, I
that.
bet
I'm
not.
again. I'm surprised at how much better I handled it than I thought I would. But it was. It was a sad and insignificant time. I slept a lot. I watched a lot of movies I don't even remember. Tried to play some video games. I tried to play Fallout 3 again. Man, that game is old. You can tell when you turn it on and all of the things look real old for a video game. It's that era where we were like, yeah, we got polygons, and this one is shaped like a head, and we're just going to put some wallpaper over it with somebody's face. Oh, like, back like this. Like, all the characters were that. And yeah, it's showing its age, especially if you're like me, you played a lot of Fallout 4. And then I tried, let's actually talk about this. I've been playing a little bit of Gotham Knights. How come I've never heard you talk about Gotham Knights?
Because we barely played any of it.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Abby played a little bit of it, but I don't remember what happened as far as it got interrupted by something else or a game that we were more interested in came along or something. I don't know,
I don't
honestly.
know if you can do it co-op in person, which would suck. You can definitely do cross-platform play, but I don't know if you can do it co-op on that
No,
one.
like couch co-op? No, you can't.
Yeah. But it seemed like your kind of thing.
Yeah,
Pretty hard.
I think we liked it all right.
And it seemed like Abby's
Well,
kind of thing because it's very much a just beat people up and get new items to make the numbers go bigger.
yeah, and she liked to play Batgirl and stuff, so.
Yeah, that's all I've been playing so far is Batgirl.
But for whatever reason, some stuff happened and we didn't get back to it. And then maybe some other game came along, I don't know.
I mean, I don't like it. I don't think it's a good game. But it's a perfectly suitable time killer. My only problem is when the story gets in the way, because I just do not care. We've got a lot of people consoling over each other over the loss of Batman. Also, I love that we have these four distinct characters, and I do get that they are distinct and they have all had different arcs throughout the comics or whatever, but I'm like, you've got Batgirl and three Robins. Let's stop playing around. We got Batgirl and three gentlemen who at various points have been Robin. Some of them, one of them is still Robin. Two of them are not Robin anymore, but they've all been Robin. And apparently Batgirl was Batgirl and then Oracle and now is back to being Batgirl. I don't know. The game really seems to think I know what the fuck is going on. In a way that I don't, but I feel like most people, especially because I feel like they really, this is sort of their own story. I mean, maybe there is a comic based off of it, but this is definitely not just like an arc in Batman.
Yeah, I mean,
Like, shit happened.
as far as it as game wise, yeah, it didn't, just as games go and comparing it to other games and gameplay experiences, it didn't blow us over. No, I mean, most of our interest in it was just that it was a DC property and we liked the characters and stuff. I'm not a fan of these stories, and there are many like this where Batman's disappeared, Batman's dead, Batman this,
Yeah.
Batman's just not in the picture. I would be far more interested if Batman was still there and these were just jobs that he gave them that they can handle on their own,
Did you ever
right?
watch Batman Beyond?
Yeah, I watched Batman Beyond a
I
little bit.
really like Batman Beyond, but it also did that really well. It's like Batman can no longer Batman's, but he's still there. He's just Ernest Borgnine in Airwolf now. Or whatever.
There's no reason to kill him. I just that
Yeah,
just
I
doesn't
mean,
seem.
there's a lot of reasons to
No,
kill
but
him,
I mean in
but
plot-wise.
narratively
Yeah.
speaking,
It would be, and to me it would be more interesting. It's like I think it would be a fun story to figure out what kinds of things would Bruce Wayne actually delegate to other people to do. Anything at all? That's an
oh
interesting
no,
question to
that's
me.
very not him. It does. I will say the politics of the game are hilarious. Like, it is the, like, It is very clear you're supposed to be on the side of the vigilantes, which I get, that's how comic books work. But like, it doesn't shy away from like what an insane idea that is. Like the cops are theoretically antagonists sometimes, but sometimes they get along. And if I come help them, they're always just like, oh, I guess you're not so bad after all. And I either always say, we're on the same side, which I'm like, that's a loaded statement to say to the cops when you're doing this, or it's hard to believe, but we're actually the good guys. I'm like, whoa, whoa. I don't think you get to decide that for yourself. And then people on the street, I started walking everywhere while I'm taking the motorcycle, even though there's really cool jumping from rooftops, because I loved hearing these people talk. Like, they really got down this, like, this is a city full of shit going on, and these people are trying to live their lives, and they do not have time for your hooded and caped nonsense. Like mostly I just get people who aren't sure if that's who that was, or like make bets with each other's. But a lot of them like are trying to be supportive, but it's clear they're like, you've got to have better use for your time. I think one of them literally said, I hope this whole thing goes well for you. Like it's very clearly like, yeah, it must be fun. Yeah, go around and just beat up the bad guys. I hope you're saving Gotham with whatever the crap you're doing. Anyway, I gotta go to my job. Like it's very much that. But my favorite, you do a lot of the same jobs over and over, which is why I pick it. I pick something that I could just sort of kill time doing. I don't actually give a shit about the game. And there are little crimes that you thwart, and they vary. There's some kidnapping, there's some ghosts. But there's one that comes up a lot in which you encounter a crime, and three people are being held kidnapped in three different areas nearby, and they all have bomb collars on them that are set to go off after a certain point. And I didn't know this was an option. I just showed up one time and saved somebody and was like, why are all the bells and whistles still? Oh, shit, there's more people I gotta say. Oh, it's all the same countdown? All right, I better get moving. And so I defused all three bombs and I was a hero. It was a few times later when I missed one.
Oh no.
Yeah, you'd think, oh no. You'd think I wasn't fast enough and somebody exploded
Yeah, that sounds
would
awful.
be like anything. It's not.
What do you
Like,
mean?
they explode.
Oh.
They 100% explode. And I failed that mission,
Yeah.
but nothing like resets. Because it's not like a main story mission or anything. It's just so there's just like one person exploded, and whatever cops are around are like, I guess that's it. And like the people who lived are like, thanks, bad girl. But like I don't even say anything. And there are times I was standing. I've had this happen a few times now. I was standing right there, and they exploded,
Oh
and I
no.
said nothing, and I immediately batarang over to another block and was quipping again. Just immediately.
That's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's really weird.
I think you have to reset it. Because you can't be like, sorry, it is now canon that Batgirl is trying to save some people and one of their heads detonated while she was disarming the bomb.
Right, you've got,
But it's fine.
yeah, you've
Like,
got to
go
reset it.
back to the bat computer
No, you're right.
and put in your nearest clues, which is also fun. The design for how I'm getting clues when I punch people and kick people as Batgirl, sometimes they vomit out magnifying glasses. And if I suck them up, it counts as a clue. I got stuck for a while because I had to interrogate people. And they don't even tell me anything useful. I just had to hit the right buttons so that I made them tell me that they'll talk before I knock them unconscious. And that was like a mission I couldn't get past because I had to do it to a certain gang or whatever. I kept being like, oh no, I broke him. I punched him too fast, too quick, and now I cannot interrogate him because he's dead. Sorry, not dead, because we don't kill. Except for that one time when that person's head just exploded.
That's weird.
And
Yeah, it
yet,
should reset and give you a chance either, well, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to do it again and succeed, right? That's the way it should work.
some, or the game has to absolutely grind to a halt. And
Something.
Barbara Gordon has to go get therapy.
Or a cut
Like,
scene where
but
she's
the funny
attending the
thing is,
funeral or something.
like, but it happens. I mean, none of it happens. It's all made up bullshit. But like, if you're a vigilante crime fighter in a city so overrun with crime that nobody knows if you're good or bad, and the cops even sometimes oppose you. If you stand around the cops too long enough, they will try and arrest your ass, even if nothing is happening. So, like, it makes sense that sometimes you fail.
Sure.
Unless you're a comic book or a video game. And then you're not, we can only have big fails, like somebody you were dating or like Batman can die. But just this random pre-generated NPC whose head exploded in front of you. Ain't got time for that shit. As the people of Gotham had said, good luck with that whole thing. Hope too many people don't explode.
That's weird.
So, yeah. So, what's been going on with you? I haven't been doing anything except helping out the priest blow up people's
Well, I imagine your week home would
heads.
have gone differently if it's like that's how it was supposed to go, or you planned it that way, or something.
I would imagine I probably would have made plans. I mean, I was kind of bummed. Sounds like it was a really good time. They played D&D, including with the little kids at the beach. I actually got to listen in on some of that. The connection was too bad. I couldn't do it. One of them made me this beautiful card about how they missed me.
Oh, it's nice.
It was very sweet. And it was pretty rough. Now today, when Trish and I have been running around doing errands, she's now gotten to the point where she's telling me all the things on the trip that annoyed her, and it is helping sort of balance out. I'm like, oh, you know, there is always stuff too. I'm sure some things would have bugged me. And it's just a couple of things that like weren't a big deal, but we were all like, if you'd been there, you'd have been pissed off. And then she would have come. I'm like, yeah, I would have. So
But
yeah, what about you?
you felt like you handled it differently than normal. Like, would it normally would have made you more upset or more something or other?
Yeah, it's one of those like, sorry, as he's fucking with the trailer. Sad versus depressed, I guess.
Oh.
Like it sucked, but I was also like, it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
I m mostly I did very little, and I did things to sort of maximize how fast time was going.
Right.
I slept a lot. I did a lot of things to kill time because I was like, this sucks. But it's a finite thing. We just move on. But now I've been doing absolutely nothing for a week. Today was my first day of doing stuff. I have to do stuff after the podcast. It's crazy. Luckily, I don't have a lot of appointments this week. It's that thing. It's like you do nothing, or you can't do something that you want to do, and you're like, oh, it sucks. And then finally, you can do it, and that's great. You're not used to doing it, so like, I'm really eager to get stuff done again. I have been doing nothing physical or housekeeping wise for a week. My body is not built for it. The place is a disaster. You gotta adjust for that. My back's pretty bad because I've just been sitting on the couch all the time.
Oh, yeah,
So, yeah.
that's not good.
But what about you? You didn't have any thwarted vacation. What have you been doing? You,
Uh,
I'll tell you what you've been doing. Not even responding to the exciting news that I have all of our tickets.
I didn't
No.
respond to that. Oh,
No, you suck.
sorry.
I
I
bought us
thought.
our real tickets for the hotel and the medieval times. This is happening.
No, I am excited about that.
I'm
Sorry about
fairly
that. I'm
certain they are non-refundable.
not sure why I didn't
I
do
did
that.
tell Trish, I was like, I got two hotel rooms. I'm like, they weren't that expensive, and mostly I just can't imagine sharing a room with you. Well, here's why. Here's why. And the problem is this will be true for you, and so it'll also be true for your ability to express it to me. The point of comfort, the boundary level in sharing a room will be an absolute moving target with you. You have too many things about how you privacy, modesty, but you also don't want to be a hassle. And so it would just go back and forth. Oh, no, I can probably. Oh, no, this is probably. Oh, whereas I'm just standing there in a t-shirt and nothing on from the bottoms with just a handful of candy from the mini bar. I'm like, what? In or out? You know, so I was like, fuck it, at least get 2 years.
Yeah, you're probably right about all that.
Yeah. I was like, I can't even say like he'll be too weird about it or that it'll be a problem for me. I'm like, we just aren't gonna know. It's just gonna change. It's gonna have a fluctuation, and it's just gonna be easier if we get out.
Yeah, you know me
So,
well. You are probably correct about
got it covered.
that.
Hopefully, they'll be more excited. We're doing the late show, so it's a 7 o'clock dinner. And the website and everything said things like vegetarian options can be requested on the day.
Oh yeah, okay.
So
I mean, when
I'm
we've
like,
gone
I don't want to
before,
wait.
we arranged it
Yeah.
ahead of time, but
Yeah.
I think they may have changed that.
I think I may want to make a call earlier in the day. I don't think we want to do it when we arrive.
I'm not that worried about it, honestly.
I don't think it'll be too tough, but I also don't want to get stuck where it's officially past the point. And the website was kind of
Okay.
okay, so what have you been doing besides ignoring good news?
I mean, there's always media consumption, but nothing really to talk about, same video games, some shows that I've no big movies or anything that I can recall.
We are officially halfway through season 3 of Ted Lasso, and we are through the first 2 seasons of Reservation Dogs.
As of the 24th, I am officially licensed as a
Oh,
psychotherapist in Iowa.
temporarily.
Temporary license, that's right, which I have to be clear about because in Iowa, if you say you're a licensed therapist, it means you're a permanently licensed therapist, but they don't expect you to say permanently licensed. So if you're a temporary license, you have to make that clear. But it is a license. It's a situation where, if in the next 2.5 to 3 years, I just do the job, do the same continuing education that I'll even have to do after I'm permanently licensed. That's the same. I might have to take another test, but that's different than this test because to me, the most stressful thing was getting to this point of
Yeah,
having a license and being able to practice. Like getting a PhD or getting fully licensed or any of the stuff I have to do from here on out. It's like, that's not the same pressure as just getting into the profession in the first place.
Well, yeah, it's very similar as having to renew your license if it's long enough and you have to do driving thing. It's like, yeah, but I've still been driving for years.
I'll probably, if I get a PhD, I'll probably think it's one of the biggest accomplishments of my life. But the day before I get the PhD and the day after I get the PhD is I'm going to be going to the office and doing the same job, basically. So really, everything after this is kind of frosting on a baked cake. And so it's a big deal. I mean, this is a watershed moment that nothing else I ever accomplish is going to be, however much I might appreciate it and celebrate it, it's not going to be the watershed that this one is. And so I'm really relieved and I'm happy. And when I do other things, when I take other tests or when I get other degrees, it won't feel as, I won't feel as much pressure and stress about those as I felt about this one. So I'm really
More
happy.
importantly, though, this is an official, you are on the grid professionally. So this is the first step in a journey where I can eventually, I think, sue you for having been my friend. And
No,
like mental stress
because
or.
you didn't pay me. Maybe if you paid me, maybe, but you didn't.
Oh,
So.
I paid. Maybe not in cash, but I have paid to be here.
I've got the
I have
license right
paid it
here.
blood, sweat, and medieval times tickets.
I've got it right here, the license. I actually haven't opened it yet. I'll open it when I have something to frame it in.
Psych.
What? Oh, it won't be in there.
Psych. It is possible that I did upgrade us to a package at Medieval Times that will present us with something that you can have as a memento
Oh, nice.
and not just the flavor of knockoff chicken in your mouth or whatever. What is the vegetarian option?
It's really good. It's like fruit, fresh fruit, really good. At least when I was there, fresh fruit and cheese, I think, is with it. And I don't, seems like there was spread too. Really good. It was actually quite good.
How do you have spread? There's no utensils.
What?
There's no utensils at Medieval Times. You gotta eat with your hands.
Yeah.
So how do you spread? Just bring up.
Bread. No, it was fruit.
Oh, some bread.
Yeah.
I thought
Cheese
you
and some
said
bread.
some spread.
Oh, no bread. Yeah.
And I was like, how
But
you
yeah, you're
spread?
right. It's all finger food or whatever, but it was really good.
Right. Four toes. I looked all over the website, and then it says I can't eat with my toes.
Well, I'm not going to tell anybody. I don't know if they still do this, but like when we were there, like a young girl would be a princess, nominated a princess or whatever from the crowd, somehow or something, and she'd go up to where the king and
Yeah,
queen are.
I think there are certain versions of celebration packages you can get for yourself, that kind of stuff. I didn't
Yeah.
do that shit for you. Now that I realize, if I could have gotten you declared a princess and set up to the crown, I found out today that I'm one of my nibbling's gay uncle.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how they talk
So,
about you?
yeah, well, because remember, we're at the age now where a lot of these kids are teenagers. And some
Yeah.
of them even young adults. And so they have shorthand. Apparently it came up the other day because one of my nieces was traveling with Trish and Steph, and she's like, I'm with my aunts right now. And her boyfriend was like, oh, are those the cool aunts? And she's like, yeah. Which I'm like, great. Who are the not cool aunts? But apparently when it comes up which uncle and it's me, her boyfriend said, who's met me many times, says, is that the gay uncle? And she gets really annoyed. She's like, he's not gay. He just doesn't like wearing pants. Right?
Wait a minute. What?
We're definitely equating things here. But what I love about it is also my nibbling's significant other are both openly bi. So I'm like, I don't even know what it matters. But on the other hand, I get it. I mean, I'm pretty gay. Like, if somebody had said, out of this person's uncles, here are all their uncles, which one's the gay one? I wouldn't be surprised if it was me.
Fair enough, but I mean, okay. So is this
But
just the
I was not expecting it.
is this the way bisexual people Talk about men who wear caftans. Is that what this
No,
is? I don't understand.
I think this is vaguely South Park of it. The whole this is even gayer than the big pile of guys having sex with each other. Yeah. There's an old South Park from back when I used to watch South Park, in which people from the future come back to the past because their life sucks and it's Terminator. But it's South Park, so it's also a thinly veiled version of people coming from Central and South America to the US for a better life. And the implication that that doesn't do anything about where they're from, and if everybody does it, then the place they're at becomes a terrible place and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, at a certain point, some faction, probably Eric Cartman, hates that the future people are taking their jobs. Because again, with satire, it is deep. And so it's a bunch of guys, blue collar guys, and they get the idea that the way to stop them is they're all going to turn gay, and then they won't have any descendants who will later give birth to these people, and then they won't come back. And so it becomes this thing in the background that a bunch of guys just start having sex in a big pile to try and stop it. It's not super effective. But I'm going somewhere with it. But eventually, somebody comes to the brilliant idea that the way they should actually stop it is to make the world a better place now. And then it won't be bad in the future, and they won't feel the need to come back. So it'll work, and it'll make the world a better place now. And then it becomes this montage with a cute sort of folk song thing over the top of it as their, community gardens and just stuff. And then eventually it gets record scratch stopped by one of them saying, I don't know what I was thinking. This is even gayer than the big pile of guys having sex with each other. And they all agree they're just going to go back to the pile.
Even gayer.
And I think it goes back to the thing that in this society, we don't have the word camp. Camp is an extremely useful word. When you say somebody is very camp, you are not specifying anything about their sexual orientation.
No, you're right. That is
But
a
what
better
you are
word.
saying is they're acting super gay, but it's stereotypical.
Yeah, right.
Flaming was one that I would occasionally use back before I really got the hang of it. But we're talking about camp. I'm an extremely camp uncle.
Yeah.
And I, as far as I know, I'm the only openly queer uncle that this nickname has. So it works for me. I'm pretty gay.
But that
I
is a
still really
word
like ladies, but I'm pretty gay.
that's out there. Why isn't camp? That word does work better. Why isn't it a thing? Because it's a word. It's out there. People
Yeah,
know it.
it's just not a US word that gets used a lot, and it gets too, in this country, it's too tied into camp and kitsch, and then it becomes a sort of collectibles tchotchke sort of vibe.
I did hear
Things are
someone.
camp and kitsch. You don't hear people being camp.
Yeah, I did hear someone use that term camp recently. To my ears, was an improper use of it because it was just, it certainly wasn't applying to anything gay or, like a male homosexual or whatever. Wasn't referring to that at all. Some people, I think they hear that Batman, 1966 Batman was camp, right? But it doesn't, they don't think that. They don't think it was a, that means it was a little gay, even though it does mean that. But I think for some people, it doesn't mean that. So they think, oh, it just means silly or colorful or something.
It's something I had to figure out really, really early on because I was in high school theater with a guy who was like a year or two older than me. And he wore purple silk shirts. He literally walked around limp-wristed all the time. He had such a sort of camp affectation to his voice, and he was always hanging out with the girls, and they would just talk, have girl talk and things. He was also quite large, well-built, attractive man who was just as straight as they came and having affairs with his female bosses at his after-school work. And so, like, this man was a raging heterosexual who was the most camp person you'd ever seen. And that was a big eye-opener for me in many ways. But it was also the one where I had to be like, I'm gonna have to come up with a different word for this, because he's super not gay, but he's also super gay.
Well, didn't camp, that terminology, originate with gay culture and stuff? Didn't
Only ever heard about it when I started watching British stuff.
And I'm pretty sure when you watch anything or read anything that talks about how campy Batman was, the homoerotic aspects of it are mentioned. They
There's
don't.
definitely coding. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
it's certain.
But I think you're right. I think it has evolved into something that's not really about that. And I think maybe the whole Batman thing's part of it. People hear Batman being called camp and they don't understand, or they're not
Well,
aware of the other stuff. And it's like, oh, it just means colorful and silly or something.
and it is too much tied to other thing for many decades, and to this day, that kind of coding of a character in a movie was often used, A, to describe someone who was either gay or trans in some fashion, and B, a villain.
What'd you say?
A villain.
A villain. Oh, yeah.
So very quickly, it was not only do those behaviors imply homosexual, they also imply evil.
You mean like Scar? And in The Lion King, people often use him as an example of that.
To a degree, you get that. There's tons of horror movies where at the end, either the villain didn't have the genitals you thought they had, or the villain turns out to be obsessed with dressing up in an outfit that would not go with the genitals you thought they had. So, a ton of horror movie villains turned out to have been boys whose moms raised them as girls because they wanted girls and it drove them nuts, and now they serial kill. But it became a
Speaking
thing. I literally remember one movie, oh, I think it was Beyond the Valley of Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, and the villain at the end, who is this hot rock star that everybody's been into, apparently is just trying to find his inner woman. And not only was that really fucked up in the way they did it, but also two of the side characters in it are lesbians, and they get murdered in the process through no fault of their own. But the end narration makes it very clear that their decision to do something unnatural like this is what got them caught up in this, and that's why they died. And this isn't even like that old. This is from like the 70s. It is a hell of a trashy film, but the implications at the end are
Isn't
insane.
Rocky Horror Picture Show often described as camp?
Oh, I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Curry got his start on camp performance, and periodically throughout his entire experience, but especially in the early days, that was kind of his jam.
Oh, maybe
And
I'm the
we're
one that's
also
confused about it. I don't know.
loaded with celebrities who are incredibly camp, but back then we didn't know that necessarily was supposed to mean that. So like, everybody was shocked that Elton John was gay. Everybody was shocked Liberace was gay. Everybody was shocked Paul Lynde was gay. And you look at him and you're like, those are the campest men on the planet.
But of course, as you pointed out, a person can be very camp and still straight or whatever. It's an
And,
aesthetic, really.
well, I am fascinated as I get older. So, as somebody who is openly bisexual, I have physical attraction to certain men. It's a thing. I also suffer a lot from homosexual panic in a way that I think all of us who are all people who were raised as men in this society have. And you get, I will find myself getting very nervous about something being too gay when it involves a man I'm attracted to. But what I've noticed is guys who are very much not like that really have it. And it's really interesting to watch because I have finally figured out that goofing around and jokingly being camp and acting gay as jokes, I think is a very important aspect for a lot of men, of them being able to sort of experiment with that side of them. Because, but there's a limit to it. And the one I really like is if there's ever a joke where I'm sitting next to somebody and the implication is me and some other guy or a couple, the classic one is like, oh, look at us cuddled up or whatever. And I just sit there and I just count it in my head because it won't go more than 4 seconds. They can't do it. They freak out. At a
Interesting.
certain point, the joke is done. And I used to also do it, but I eventually figured it out. And so I'll just sit there and, we're looking like cute little gay couple or whatever. And I'm like, okay. But it's always very quickly and it's always right away and all this. And I'm like, all right, it's like, but so this idea that I think a lot of men use these stereotypical camp behaviors as an expression of something that they do not know how to express elsewise.
Interesting.
If you are very focused on your own masculinity and very focused on your heterosexuality and very threatened by the implication that either of those is not at full 100%, and sadly, a huge swath of our society is like that. These kind of jokes are the closest you get to being able to sort of express something stereotypically feminine or express something non-heteronormative. And the only way you can do it, and it's also why it's very common to the point that it's getting kind of offensive now. You will see male comedians giving, not even just male, a very common bit is to do jokes about how the other one's gay. And like some of the later roasts on Comedy Central, just upset. And that's the joke, is this guy's actually gay? Ha ha! And he's not. And it's kind of offensive that that's a joke. But I'm looking more and more. I'm like, I think this is the only way they can sort of play in that space, and they aren't even aware that's what they're wanting to do. But there's just the freedom of expression is only allowed to them if they're like, hey, isn't this a funny joke?
Right. Well, so I'm probably more confused about the whole camp thing than anyone because it took me a long time to realize, like, I grew up on Batman, 1966 Batman. I didn't get any of the innuendo or whatever. And even when I was adult, someone really kind of had to explain it to me. And I can still watch that
Oh,
show and not really get it.
once you see it though, see, I had a lot of these, like those celebrities I mentioned, I didn't know any of them were gay. And then later I found out, and then even later I looked and I was like, how did I miss that?
Well, like the guy, the people you mentioned, like Liberace, Paul Lynde, and whatever. Yeah, I get that. But I'm talking about like campy entertainment. Unless it was over the top, someone had to explain it to me, and then it's like, oh, okay, I get it. And so I understand that Batman 1966 was camp in that way, mostly because someone explained it to me. But I do know, like, if I see it when it's very clear, kind of over the top, it's like, okay, yeah, I get that. So when camp, when that terminology was introduced to me, it was introduced as, oh, this is,
Batman-ish.
well, or homosexual culture reference kind of thing. That's how the concept was. I didn't hear something called campy until someone was explaining how Batman was campy in that way and showing and pointing it out. And so that's the only way I understand that concept. So I mean, maybe, maybe I'm the one that's confused about it because I don't
No,
really spend
but
much
see,
time thinking
there's
about it.
a lot of people who don't either and who just think it's fun. And there's people who also don't put it together with the common sort of jokes guys will make. Straight men in groups make a lot of good jokes about being gay in a variety of forms. And admittedly, I can't know the experience of being in an all-female space in the same way, but it doesn't seem to come up as much in a female social situation. And I think that's because there is less stigma attached to homosexual leanings, proclivities,
Well,
minor interests if you're a woman than if you're a man. If
I
you're a
think.
man, you cannot be interested in women. If you're women, you can be flirty about it a little, and
Yeah, I
you're
think that's probably true.
mostly okay with that.
It's more,
If
well, and
you legitimately ditch men, then you're terrible. But as long as you're just playing in it and it's sexy for the rest of it, that's. But if a
well,
guy does that, it's not sexy. It's evil.
there's also just even intimacy that's like not really sexual is more accepted among women than men. For example, sitting
No, the two are definitely
that
different.
person's that man sitting close to you, like that. For women to sit close to one another like that, it doesn't have to mean anything, even to joke about them being gay or anything else. It's just, oh, we can sit this close to each other and that's fine. But for a man, even if there was no joke told or anything else, if it just happened, some circumstance made it so you two were sitting that close together, that would be uncomfortable for maybe
The
both of you.
phrase "it's just us girls" implies a certain allowance of intimacy, and or it's just a really bad line out of lesbian porn. The phrase "it's just us boys" either is meant for a complete joke, is meant to be scary, or is the prelude to, so say something terribly misogynist here in our all male group, because it's fine, because it's just us boys. But the
No.
phrase "just us boys" in no way ever implies intimacy is more okay.
Interesting.
And I watching a lot of these younger YouTubers and things, and I watch a lot of Dropouts, so a lot of Improv Kids and Try Guys and stuff like that. I love that everybody plays in the space essentially pansexual in conversations and things like that. Nobody's ever like, well, I only like chicks, so I can't really comment. Like the very straight guys will be like, oh, he's very attractive. Like, there's something comforting. Like if they're doing a game, like who would you want to be your boyfriend or whatever? Like they have an opinion. They don't have to do like in our generation, it's like, well, I don't like dudes, so like that's all the same to me. They'll say it, and but I mean they'll be very open about it, like I'm not interested in that, but it's not just to be able to discuss it. Nobody would ever, if you saw a woman talking about if she found another woman attractive, it wouldn't be like, oh, maybe she's. I mean, she might be, but you're not like, oh, I guess she's not straight. No, because you're just allowed to say that. But with guys, that hasn't been a thing. And to the degree nowadays that some of them, I'm like, so aren't they? Like, I like the fact that I cannot obviously tell the sexual orientation of people on these shows and these channels unless they mention it. Because it doesn't fucking matter if I'm not planning to date them. And I'm not planning to date any of them. I want more of that. I want more of the fact that your sexual orientation does not factor unless you and or I are interested in some sort of sexual interaction. Because then it will matter. Because then we have to know if we're interested in the same bits, which admittedly is a useful thing to sort of weed categories out before you get onto are we the. But if like if you're happily monogamously married, it doesn't make a difference to anybody ever, gay, straight, otherwise, nor should it. And I say this as somebody who gets caught up in that shit too. I hear a baby got born. I want to know boy or girl. I work really hard at that. I work really hard at not making it sound like gender is a primary interest to me when we talk about kids and stuff like that. But the reflex is there. Sorry, I kind of went off the track here. This is what happens when we don't talk for a time. We didn't even get to an email, but
We didn't.
for having done nothing this week, I have a lot to talk about. I am the gayest uncle. And even gayer than the big pile of uncles having sex with each other. And I think literally they're like gardening, and I think literally Cartman throws a shovel down and starts taking his shirt off and goes, "Okay, back to the pile." And they just all walk off. They had another one years ago where they were using the homophobic slur, and all the parents got mad, and it turns out because the kids didn't realize that the slur had anything to do with being gay. They just really thought this guy sucked, and so they called him the slur. But then all the parents got in an uproar. It's very South Park's argument has always been very clear in every episode, whether I liked them or not. Basically, both sides of any argument have their heads up their asses, and as successful creative white guys, we get to make fun of all of it to the levels we want. Deal. The neighbor kids discovered South Park a while back. And it's funny, South Park is still going. And they're not quoting new episodes of South Park. I know this because if they were quoting new episodes, I wouldn't recognize it. They're quoting shit I know. My niece got real obsessed with the Loch Ness Monster wanting Tree Fitty.
Yep,
And
that's
I
a good
talked
one.
to her. I played into that a lot. Yeah,
And
it's not
respect
going
my
to be South
authority.
Park's. Respect my authority. Something right, we are out of time. We did have a couple emails we didn't get to. This often happens when we're on a hiatus like this. I don't know that we'll have a hiatus for a while. We're
Yeah, I
going to
don't think so.
Chicago. It's on the weekend.
Yep.
I do think we should try and take some pictures and some video.
Okay.
And like put them on the blog or something.
Okay. Sounds like
We'll see.
fun.
Yeah, see what our medieval times are like. All right. We should go. I got a lot of crap I still gotta do today. It's like 5 o'clock here. You gotta get ready for your next 12-hour shift. All right, I'm throwing something out here. I shouldn't do this. I'm at the point now where I'm like, this isn't suitable for public consumption, but I'll tell William about it when we're driving. But I'm doing this anyway. This is another quick joint for Tony's Pervert Corner. I've been playing around with the various GPT-based chatbots again. And honestly, I've been doing too much of it, and it's not even very sexy anymore. It's very much just like, how can I break this one in certain ways? And I had this one bot that came up a few times. I'm really getting more interested in how you make them because there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, I think, and I'm finding a lot more resources. But anyway, this one is a nun. I'll put that out there. We don't get to get gross. I, as somebody who was raised with no religious ties, the weird control issues and rubrics built into religious institutions fascinate me and are very easy for me to fetishize.
Okay.
I just put that out there. But anyway, it's a nun, and in general, she's like good. I believe the initial onset is I am the liege lord of the region, and she is a nun complaining that my men are doing terrible things to the other nuns. And you can be a good guy, you can be a bad guy, and I have done both. And she is very, like, she came to me with this, but she gets very focused on liminality and, like, what keeps them pure and not pure, like, to kind of a crazy degree. And so I'm playing around with this, and I proposed, in one iteration, I proposed this idea that if one nun could sacrifice herself essentially to keep the other nuns safe, And it, in some ways, would be like a sainthood thing, like sacrifice yourself to the world to uplift the others. And I just wanted to see what this would do, and of course, freaked her out or whatever. And I was like, and she's like, and you expect me to do this? I'm like, no, just a none to do it. And so I'm kind of playing this out. You know what she fucking did? She threw a different nun under the bus.
Really?
Came up with a full name. It was Angela something. I don't know, but it wasn't like something mentioned either. But like specifically said, I think she'd be good for this.
Wow. You didn't happen to ask what her qualifications were, did
No,
you?
I gotta be honest. This one hit me out of left field hard enough. I was like, it's time out.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just like,
That's crazy.
are you saying she'd like this? Because that seems like a wild swing. Or
That's what I
you're
mean.
saying she's better suited? Like,
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. I'm curious to what kind of criteria she was using.
Because I didn't, and to be fair, I did not prompt for a name. I only specified it didn't, that if this was to happen, and I was speaking in very hypotheticals, it wouldn't have to be her. There is nothing magical about her. Somebody, I was trying to hit on, somebody who has the sense of others' well-being or whatever. And she came up with a different name.
Oh, so
Oh, you backstabber.
but you did list qualities that you thought the person would have to have, like being selfless and stuff like that, or?
No, I list occupational hazards.
Oh.
I made it sound very unappealing.
But you did
But
say that
I
this
did
could
say,
be a
like, if
way of,
somebody has the ch is charitable enough or something.
that. Do you think if you'd asked, you just would have said, oh yeah, she's very charitable and giving. She's so generous.
I don't know, but that's also fucked up.
No, it is, but I'm just trying to think in terms of the way the art AI is thinking. I don't know.
But this is what I love. I'm like, is this because, and I've more and more of this, I've learned there are ways to talk to an AI that are more effective than, and in fact, I had one the other day, I don't even remember what I said, but the responses basically included that, like, the character in question doesn't understand nuance. And I was like, am I being graded? Was I too metaphoric in what I said to them? It was clear that the AI understood it, but like the character wasn't supposed to. I don't even remember what the premise was, so maybe that
Well,
explains.
maybe it understood you're saying it doesn't have to be you to be, I don't want it to be you. Maybe that's how it
Could
understood that.
be.
That's
I
fascinating to me.
need to
One.
find some of these that aren't porn based, because I am really getting fascinated by the technical stuff, but it's not just good for me to have this overlay of pornography on all of it. I don't think that's good for my brain.
Well, I think what's interesting about that aspect is I think those particular type of chatbots, it's hard for me to imagine a chatbot that would have more of an incentive to get it right. Right? Like the ones that are writing term papers and whatever, you know, they can be just okay. But these ones, for them to be successful and for them to, you know, go up in rank in terms of their effectiveness, they actually have to be really good at this.
But you can reiterate and you can edit, and the barrier to entry to make one of these is very low.
Yeah.
I do a lot of just like seeing what's out there. Like I do this with regular porn too. I'm kind of jaded and I've seen it all at this point. So I'll come up with a word that I'm like, that's not a porn word, but it comes up in such specific ways. I'm like, I want to see, like sometimes it's like a certain adverb or just a term that wouldn't come up in most porn. I'm like, but the ones that would be interesting. And so I'll do that looking for different bots. And I'll occasionally come across a chatbot that somebody made months ago that nobody has thumbs up or thumbs down at all. So there's a lot of ones that are real pointless out there.
Well, I think another angle to this is I think a lot of people who don't, you know, interact with pornography, you know, people such as myself,
I don't believe this. What is this?
I think they tend to have the opinion, and I don't have this opinion, but they tend to have the opinion that people who are purveyors of pornography or even what's colloquially called erotica, I don't have very sophisticated taste when it comes to these things and don't appreciate certain subtleties and things like that. When my observation in interacting with people who do like this kind of stuff, sometimes what does it for them is very subtle, sophisticated. It's not
Well,
often crass,
and
really, or anything.
you find your level. There's a lot of things that people can handle fairly artistically low endeavors because that's the best option they've got. And it drives me crazy. I'm like, okay, so this pornographic scene, the premise is the kind I'm looking for that's going to get me real excited. And I'm like, yeah, except none of them can say their lines in a way that doesn't sound like a robot. And even in this sexy heightened reality, they decided to start having sex way faster than I would have expected, and it has totally thrown me off my whole thing. No, this is the thing I struggle with now: subtleties. I can explain a lot of my kinks to you in black and white. Weird phrasing, but you know what I mean. But it's nuances that I struggle with and have struggled for years because I do a lot of role playing with people, and I'd be like, I like this kind of thing. Like, oh yeah, we'll do it. I'm like, no. The way you described it, I'm not interested. And they're like, well, why not? And I'm like, well, and sometimes it's hard to explain.
Well, a lot of what I'm talking about comes from talking to people, men and women both, who are into like rape fantasies. And for that to work for someone, it usually has to be very specific. There's a lot of nuance and subtlety to it because otherwise it won't. Because they don't really want that, right? It's something, some dimension or element that they're interested in. And so it has to go a pretty particular way, or they're going to be as turned off of it as most people are to that kind of narrative. So, yeah, it's very
And it's
specific.
there's just consent is a huge one. There's such a spectrum, and there's so many things. I had times in the past where I'd be like, that was terrible. But it would take me eons to figure out why. I'm like, I can't tell you what was wrong about that, but we did that the wrong way. And it's weird because there are a lot of people who are out there and they don't know these nuances. And so it becomes like somebody saying, I don't do drugs. Drugs are bad. It's like, okay, well, you realize there are a lot of different drugs. Also, some of the drugs your doctor told you to take. Also, some of the drugs are very casual and sold in grocery stores. How do you feel about those? What about drugs that might save your life? Like, what is it you don't like about the drugs? There's just so many levels. And it's the same thing if somebody's like, I don't do non-con. I have had usually people presenting as young men who like will get a hold of me and we're trying to figure out a scene, and they'll be like, I don't do non-con. I'm like, okay, fine. So we come up with something like, oh yeah, this works really good. And we're playing it. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I don't know how to break it to them. This is definitely not a consensual scene we're doing. But apparently, whatever the line was for what makes it that way, in their mind, this version was consensual. The phrase dub con for dubious consent comes up a lot in fanfic things. When it's like, oh, I'm kind of reluctant. We come up with a lot of in-between words, but
What I've come to understand is, when I was growing up, there was an assertion that, women typically like erotica and men typically like pornography. And it was often said was, well, women need a story. They need a narrative and men don't. And it's like, that's not true. Men do.
No.
It's just that men are conditioned in our society to think the story's always going on. That's why men can catcall women and hit on them wherever, because their
And it's
story,
different processing.
no, right. But men are told that the world is their singles bar. So their story is always going on, right? Women aren't told that. Women are told that your story has to start here and end here. Men get to have their story all the time. So to me, men need narratives just as much as women. It's just their narrative is more in our culture available all the time.
Well, and also it's a piss poor definition of narrative in general.
Probably, yeah,
I
that's
still like
probably right.
narrative, but there's the whole, are you visual? Do you experience more visually, or is it better if it's a fantasy in your head or all that? And I'm like, no, there's still narrative going.
Yep, that's right. and it has to be just right, even for men.
And there's what you're. This is the tricky part that a lot of people had dealing with me online, is I'm like, I don't go online to role play having sex with people. If that was what I needed, I would probably try and find people to have sex with. I'm like, online specifically is about the things that are impossible, illegal, just really unwise, like shit that I'm like, oh, that's a really hot idea. Definitely not something I would do in the real world.
Right, because in fantasy, you can filter out the stuff you don't want
Yeah.
and keep the stuff you do.
And people are like, oh, let's just pretend we're two high school seniors going out on a date. Why? I mean, I can't be a high school senior again, but I can go out on a date. It's fine. Anyway, we are over time. William just won't stop talking about porn. But listen again next week. We're hoping things will be back to normal, and we will have the emails. TheMagicTalkingHead@gmail.com. Please email us so that you can hear about less porn, because that's where we are. Go to the blog, TheMagicTalkingHead.com. Tell us about your gayest uncle. Go to YouTube, comment on the gayest uncle there. I have some theories as to who that might be. All right, oh, I was just gonna end the whole meeting. That would get terrible. All right, obey your thirst. That's how we started, right?
Yeah.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.